Gadadhar Radha's appearance day. Gadadhar Pandit's appearance day. So we'll start with the verse and see if I can swing it around to talk something about Gadadhar with your blessings.
Om Namah Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namah Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namah Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So we're just now chanting the song sung by Lord Shiva. This is Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, text number. Sorry, Canto 4, chapter 24, text number 50.
Purara chaka samvigna Bali valgo galadara
the translation and the purport so we can have some time to speak about Gadadhar Pandit. The Lord's abdomen is beautiful due to three ripples in the flesh. Being so round, his abdomen resembles the leaf of a banyan tree. And when he exhales and inhales, the movement of the ripples appear very, very beautiful. The coils within the navel of the Lord are so deep that it appears that the entire universe sprouted out of it, and yet again wishes to go back. The whole universe is born out of the lotus stem which sprouted from the navel of the Lord. Lord Brahma sat on top of this lotus stem to create the whole universe. The navel of the Lord is so deep and coiling that it appears that the whole universe again wants to withdraw into the navel. Being attracted by the Lord's beauty, the Lord's navel and the ripples on the belly, on his belly, always increase the beauty of his bodily features. The details of the bodily features of the Lord especially indicate the personality of Godhead. Impersonalists cannot appreciate the beautiful body of the Lord, which is described in the prayers of Lord Shiva. Although the impersonalists are always engaged in the worship of Lord Shiva, they are unable to understand the prayers offered by Lord Shiva to the bodily features of Lord Vishnu. Lord Vishnu is known as Shiva Varinchi Nutam. Shrimad Bhagavatam 11.5.33. For he is always worshipped by Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva.
Om Abhyana Timidunasya Yanana Salakaya Chakshu Malitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripashandubhyevacha Patitanam Bhavanabhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha.
So one of the descriptions given is that Lord Shiva is considered to be a greater Vaishnav, we know, than Lord Brahma. Of course, Brahma's a Jiva Tattva, and Shiva's got a Tattva of his own. But one of the reasons for that exaltedness is that he's able to destroy. He has this incredible propensity as Rudra to destroy in this material world. Of course, also in Lord Shiva, Sadhu Shiva, we find the propensity to create, the propensity to maintain, and then also the propensity to destroy. Sadhu Shiva is none different than Vishnu. In some descriptions of the form of Lord Shiva, and his lingam form is divided into three. The bottom part is called the Brahma Bhaga, middle part is called Vishnu Bhaga, and the top part is called the Shiva Bhaga. So even some lingams are designed or created in that way. So his propensity to destroy is quite spectacular. After 342,000 million years, that is one day in the life of Lord Brahma, he brings up a partial annihilation. That partial annihilation, he has the power to create fire in a Rudra form. He has the power to create fire for 36,000 years. A long time. And then after that, floods for another 36,000 years, followed by heavy winds and storm like that. And then that's only Brahma's day. Then his night goes by. And then that's one day of Lord Brahma. So then if we consider, then after the lifetime of Lord Brahma, let's consider the partial annihilation. So then after the lifetime of Lord Brahma, after 432,000 million times two, right, to make that the night and day, then times 30 to make it a month, then times 12 to make 12 months, then times 100, so many millions of years at the end of Lord Brahma's life, it then has a full annihilation. And during the partial annihilation, all the living entities are withdrawn into the body of Garbhadakshay Vishnu. They go inside. And all the living entities reside in a state within the body of Garbhadakshay Vishnu. And at the end of the pralaya, or the total devastation, not a partial but total, at the end of the lifetime of Lord Brahma, all the living entities and all the Garbhadakshai realms, the Vaikuntha planets, thousands of them, they then go into the body of Mahavishnu or Karanadakshai Vishnu. And all the souls then go and sit in a dormant state there again until creation takes place. So Lord Shiva has this power to annihilate again another 36,000 years of fire at the total pralaya. So fascinating how Lord Shiva has this capacity. So here he's glorifying Lord Vishnu, and he has full knowledge, automatic. He didn't have to study. He didn't have to go systematically through the Bhagavatam. He already automatic that comes. He's the topmost devotee of Krishna, Vaishnava Yata Sambhu, and therefore automatic with that position of Lord Shiva. He has full knowledge. So he's glorifying Lord Vishnu. And here we find here's a beautiful poetic description of the beauty of Vishnu. And at the time of dissolution, we'll try and bring it to a local scene. But if we go across the river to Godrum Dweep, isn't it? We know Godrum Dweep. Most of us have spent time or been there or aware of that. Then in that place, it doesn't undergo pralaya. It doesn't undergo devastation. This is phenomenal. And when everything else is breaking down and destruction is there, then that place, Godrum Dweep, it remains above the dissolution. And we know this because Markandeya Rishi, he was a young boy, and he had some destiny in his chart that he would only live for 7 years or so many years. And his parents, you know, prayed, let him live a long life. They asked for a boon from Brahma, let him live a long life. And at that time, the Sapta Rishis, seven Rishis were there. And so they all said, so be it, so be it. So he got to live for seven kalpas. He wanted a blessing to live for a long, long period, like a kalpa. And the seven Sapta Rishis, they all gave a blessing. Tatashta. So he got to live for seven kalpas. So when floating around on this ocean of pralaya, then he becomes a bit seasick. After not seeing anybody and being in such a state, you know, no doubt no one else there. Of course, some story how he sees Krishna, isn't it? Krishna on a banyan leaf. Is it a banyan leaf? Baby Krishna. And baby Krishna is there. But anyway, after some time floating around like this, he's getting bewildered, and he comes aground at Godrum Dweep. And there we know this Godrum, go means cow, and drum means tree. So underneath the beautiful banyan tree, which is, according to the scriptures, eight kilometers long. I'm sure it's still there, I just don't have the eyes. But beautiful trees on that side, isn't it? Godrum Dweep, the island of chanting. Then Saravi is underneath the tree. And Markandeya Rishi comes there, and Saravi says something like, we'll get the mercy of Gauranga. We stay here, we chant the holy name, and he gets settled at that place. And so creation is coming and going. But the spiritual world, or embassies of the spiritual world, even though it seems inconceivable to our intelligence, it somehow remains. So now I want to, from this understanding, because we're looking at the navel of Mahavishnu, and that nabi navel is a very important place on the body, especially in Mahavishnu. This is where the Garbhadakshai Vishnu, this is where the lotus sprouts. On top of that is Arjuna, the firstborn, Lord Brahma. So it's the beginning of creation. And also we know through even mundane life in this world, the producing of children, this navel of the feminine aspect, the umbilicus comes and the child comes from there. So the nabi is a very powerful place in the body. This chakra there with the nabi, the navel. Who can imagine Vishnu's navel? The color of a sham blue rain cloud, And then three lines, and when he twists his body, those lines say, you know, he's like a banyan leaf, extremely beautiful. I'm not too sure, Jananibas shared with me that Prabhupada made a comment, was it that Madhava's thigh, or hips and thigh, were one of the most beautiful, attractive things in the universe. So the navel, you know, we're looking at the body of Mahavishnu, his navel, very extremely beautiful, like a lotus. Punkage, like a lotus. So so beautiful that the creation had come out, but it wanted to go back down there again. Wanted to go. It was attracted, wasn't it? Deep navel, you know, deep navel, such a beautiful description. So these places, even in the Holy Dham, they're like special chakras on the earth's realm, this land of Mayapur Dham, also the yoga pit. These are like birth places. They're like nabis. They're like navel places. So from there the whole universe expands. From there the whole Hare Krishna movement expanded, you know, all around the world. So the yoga pit also a very special place. But if we move from Gopuram Dweep in the island of chanting in this age of Kali, most important, the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, we go up to Bhaktivinoda Thakur's how do we say that? Sarup Sakanda Swananda Sukhada Kunj. Very beautiful. This is Lalita's Grove. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, as we know, he was in the mood of bhajan and kirtan. He grew up surrounded, he established the movement surrounded in the island of Gudrun Dweep, was at that particular time predominated by Babaji's, and the bhajan was a predominant way of making spiritual progress. So from that place we see, if we go, we see his deities, Gaur Gadadhar. So Pancha Tattva become, what is that? Pancha Tattva Bhakta Rupa Sarupakam Bhaktavatam Bhaktyam Namami Bhakti Shaktikam. So from this place, Namami Bhakti Shaktikam, Namami Bhakti Shaktikam. If we were to take the principle, the feminine principle, the enjoying, the internal potency of Krishna, the Hladini potency, out of it, somehow we could never do that. But if we were to take Gadadhar off the altar or Radha off the altar, everything would collapse. There's nothing operates. Namami Bhakti Shaktikam. So on this day we glorify Gadadhar Pandit, who somehow, I don't know what happened, but this is the second time I've got to speak about Gadadhar Pandit. I've only given two or three classes, and last year I spoke on this day also. Maybe he wants to show from the lowest, the highest. But, because a very high topic, very esoteric topic, and one can't enter into that with gyan, with knowledge. We can't enter that with bhakti. We can't enter with gyan. With gyan. Only with bhakti from the heart can we enter this topic. And as some good friends were expressing to me, this can only be awarded. Information of this topic can only be given. So I don't even know if I can have the potency to open that door for a look. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he had that potency. He was worshipping Gaur Gadadhar. We see the deities of Gaur Gadadhar there. And just briefly mentioning that Gadadhar Pandit, on the side of Gauranga, we see this this Vishnu Tattva expansions, Mahaprabhu and Advaita Prabhu and Nityananda Prabhu, these are expansions of Vishnu Tattva. And according to this sloka, then Jiva Tattva is represented by Srivas Thakur, who is an expansion of Narad Muni. And then we have Shakti Tattva. Shakti Tattva is Gadadhar Pandit. So Gadadhar Pandit represents Srimati Radharani. And sometimes she's described as in that way, and other times she's described as being like Srimati Radharani without jealous anger. She doesn't have the man. I was sharing with another devotee, and he was saying how Gauranga, he begged for that man. He took the man, or Krishna requested that man. So we see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's crying in this period of time. Previous incarnation as Srimati Radharani, she was cursed to come to this world for 100 years by Sridham. You come to this material world and take birth in a human form, and for 100 years you'll have some pastimes with Krishna in the forest of Vrindavan. Then when you're a young girl, you'll have to go. He'll have to go from you, and you'll cry. You'll cry for 100 years. Such an intense separation. Vipralamba. Pravas, long distance separation. So, of course, we know then that she created Mayapur by some jealousy for Viraj Gopi in the Golok Vrindavan. Some jealous thought, then she had a desire to form an island where Krishna would be most attracted to come. He couldn't avoid but coming. Beautiful gardens and all the holy rivers shaped like the back of a tortoise, surrounded. So this is this Sridhar Mayapur Aki. And there she played a flute, and Mayapur Dham manifest. And then Gauranga comes, and then he's crying. This life, he's crying. He has to pay back the debt. He's paying back the debt that he made to Radharani, making her cry for 100 years. The debt to the gopis, they had to give up all their social obligation, all their moral status. They had to become like kalinkaris. They had to be seen like stealing out in the middle of the night. She was also told when she'd come, she'd have to marry Abhimanyu. All of these things, which is shameful in general moral culture. So Gauranga has to come and pay back that debt. And this naval principle is also there with Lord Jagannath, because there's a story I'm sure you've read where Jagannath, when Krishna leaves this world, and he's shot in the heel by an arrow, because it's a place where he could be shot. Devasa Muni gave him benediction, he couldn't be wounded on any other part of the body. Of course, this is Krishna, but his transcendental lila was the arrow of Jara hit him in the heel, on the bottom of the foot, which wasn't like an Achilles heel. He was to be taken in that way. And he left behind a so-called, it appeared like he left behind a material body. One body went, spiritual body. One was a material form. And it's described that Arjuna, he was given the position to cremate that. And one piece was left over. After the fire, one hard piece of flesh was left. Anyone heard this story? It's quite a well-known story. It's in Madhavananda's magazines about Gaugavinda Maharaj revealing Puri Dham. So that one piece, what to do? He threw it in the ocean. And then they said it floated around and came up on the Puri side. This is Dwarka, where he left the world, Prabhas, and that piece came around and it came up on the beach in Puri. And there is a form, this is a very confidential leela on this day. I hope we can, don't mind, we open this door a little bit. In the nabi of Lord Jagannath, this form is there. For some say it's because of his sinful activity, but Vaishnavas, we don't say that. We would say like more like the debt he had to pay back. So that navel, that piece of hard thing that Sanatana Goswami says, this pebble, hard pebble, shalagram. Some say it's shalagram. In the navel of Lord Jagannath, Navakalovaram it's called. You know, the nabi, navel there. And that has life. It's giving Jagannath the body like a soul, life. Even one time the Muslims stole Lord Jagannath, the bodily form, they took to Calcutta. The Muslim constables, in a particular era not so long ago, they took Lord Jagannath's form and they incinerated that form in Calcutta. In that area, it was then ruled by the Muslims. However, one Brahmin from Puri was seen to come and he entered the fire. And then they were all amazed. They watched, and then after some particular time, he mystically appeared out. They didn't know that he had this nabi. He went back down to Jagannath Puri. Again, they carved some big Dharu Brahmins, wooden deity forms. Again, the worship went on. So like that, Jagannath is coming, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is coming, you know. He's indebted to the gopis of Vrindavan. And Radharani's Udaya principle, the Udaya principle of magnanimity, the sweetness of Vrindavan, madhur, sweet Vrindavan. But of the two principles of Radharani, magnanimity is the highest, more high than the sweet madhur is magnanimity. And all of us can enter that. We're part of that. This is the Hare Krishna movement. This paying back, isn't it? The compassion of Krishna, the compassion of Srimati Radharani, the soft-heartedness, isn't it? So Gadadhar Pandit, he represents the internal one. As devotees, we can dive deep into bhajan. That's all right. We should dive deep into Prabhupada's books. This is bhajan. We should dive deep into the holy name. Hare Krishna mantra, this is the greatest bhajan, japa, bhajan, japa, your private, internal relationship with Krishna. Then on the other side of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu we have kirtan. Nithayake, Nityanandaramake. And so as Janani Vas describes, you know, we go from Srivas Thakur, the pure devotee, then we get Ayacharyas, we come into the line of devotees through Lord Shiva, guru form in the form of Advaita Acharya. This is the Lord's form in the Panchatattva. He experiences different moods. Then from there we go to Nittai, the guru. Nityananda represents preaching, kirtan, Harinam Sankirtan. You know, in the Puri Leela, this Lord Chaitanya dancing, seven different forms appeared and dancing in circles, different dances are there. Advaita Acharya, he designates different dances, different kartal players. Mridanga is there like flute. A flute is there. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu manifests himself like Krishna and Ras. Here he is, there, he's everywhere. He's dancing with everyone. It's called Mahashringa Ras, isn't it? The intimate conjugal mood of Ras Leela. This is dancing before Jagannath's wrath. Jagannath sometimes falls back, pulled by the bhav and mood, the separation of Radharani. You know, she's behind the cart, and they get big elephants try and pull the wrath. They're churning up the sand. Whole elephants, hundreds of men, they can't pull the cart. And Gauranga goes behind and just tips his head on the back. Off it goes. This Leela of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Jagannath, you know. Chaitanya giving Harinam Sankirtan. I only really know one sloka, you know. One nice devotee taught me is Yei Naam Sei Krishna. The holy name is Krishna. Yei Naam Sei Krishna. We chant the holy name that is Krishna. So in this way, and prasadam distribution, Prabhupada, very simple philosophy, chanting, dancing and feasting, isn't it? Chanting, dancing and feasting. So it's not a rocket science. It's not, yes, we can dive deep into the philosophy, we can gain so much gyan and knowledge, but to understand this shakti tattva, which is the goal of human life given by the Goswamis of Vrindavan, the intimate leader, the conjugal leader, the madhurya bhav, the highest thing is made available to the lowest among mankind. The price we pay is very small price. A small price. We're not meditating for thousands of years, we're not putting on costly yagyas, we're not some mystical potency. It's just chanting, dancing and feasting. This is the Ladini Shakti, isn't it? This is the mood of pleasure potency. The pleasure potency. This is Radharani to dance, to take prasadam, and you know, chant Krishna's name. So Gadadhar Pandit on this day appeared. What a magnificent day. No different than Srimati Radharani, and in some particular parts of the Chaitanya Charitamrita is described that she's non different than Rukmini. No man is there. Krishna couldn't get her jealously in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He couldn't get Gadadhar Pandit to be angry. He was born in Chittagong in Bangladesh, Chittagram, and at the age of 13 he came here as a young boy, and he was a little disturbed with Gauranga Mahaprabhu's early preaching. Because it was, you know, Naya, scholarly life and schooling and teaching, he would argue with people. Whereas Gadadhar Pandit was soft and gentle. These are his qualities. He was soft and gentle, Brahmana. He was very devoted. He was a gentle, feminine-like nature. So he didn't like that until Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to... became fully fledged in the Sankirtan mood. He came back calling Krishna, 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 then Gadadhar. Of course, he befriended him as soon as he came. But he stood off Chaitanya Mahaprabhu initially, until he went to Gaya and came back and took initiation. He came back and then he was full of Krishna Bhav and chanting Krishna's name. Then Gadadhar Pandit became fully affiliated. Of course, his service was to, in Navadvip Dham, his service, and also in Puri, his service was to make sandalwood paste for Gauranga. And fan sandalwood paste, and he would also sleep at the bed, at the foot of the bed. He would make the bed for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he would sleep at the foot of the bed. And in the night time, he would speak confidential Leela, Radha Krishna Leela to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This was his special pastime. So it's described that those that have the inclination towards Nityananda and Advaita Acharya, principally they're attracted, and all of us are like that initially, and we're still in that place of servitorship, of paternality and fraternality. But as one in devotional life progresses through the path of devotional life and we come to the higher stages of bhakti, then we can approach this bhakti shakti. And we can't go through to Krishna's intimate leela without having the mercy of Radharani. We can't go to Radharani before that without having the mercy of Lord Nityananda. That means getting involved in preaching, getting involved in Harinam Sankirtan, getting involved in prasadam distribution. Prabhupada said, work now, samadhi later. He lived his life like that. Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, only at the end of their life, in their external, at least in their external consciousness, they were able to surrender and enter into the internal. The Goswamis of Vrindavan also, they practiced bhajan, and in their internal life, they were contacting this higher conjugal mellow, as in their feminine surups, manjari surups. But in the external, they were following rules and regulations, bowing down, going around Govardhan, worshipping Tulsi, chanting Hare Krishna. So internally and externally can be different, isn't it? Internally we may cultivate our own bhava or intimate relation with Krishna. It's private. Japa is private. Kirtan is public. So both sides of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu there. So as a young boy, Gadadhar Pandit, he came. And we'll move on to a quick story with him about Kusmakunda. Mukunda Dutt was here, he was a great singer, and he had relationship with Gadadhar Pandit from Bangladesh. He was also came from very close, 20 kilometers or something distance. So he knew him. He knew Pundarik Vijayanidhi. So at one time Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because Pundarik Vijayanidhi, he was not an ordinary soul. He was an extroverted, unusual character. And one time Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started saying, Pundarik, Pundarik, oh my father, Pundarik, Pundarik, my father, Pundarik. And everybody was, who is this Pundarik? This must be a name for Krishna. Who is Pundarik? That we're thinking. And he was saying, father, father. And then 2 weeks or some time later, then Pundarik Vijayanidhi comes. And Pundarik Vinjadindi is not an ordinary being. He was an extroverted. Externally he appeared in a certain way, and internally he was something else. Externally he appeared, we've heard that description, we've all heard it, but it's wonderful to hear it. He actually appeared in a form that was like a prince. He had long hair, he had oil through the hair, he had golden box, he was chewing pan, was all red. His lips were all red, like you see Bengali life. And he had water pots and golden pots around him, all full. And he was sitting under a palanquin on the edge of the Ganges in Navadvip. And he had like all different layers of material, opulent silks, and big pillows, cushions, white pillow cushions. And he looked very unusual, wasn't it? And attractive in some way. But Mukunda Dutt, he said, I need to take Gadadhar Pandit. I'll take him, I'll show him this Pundarik Vinjanidhi. Because he knew he was a great devotee. So he takes Gadadhar Pandit. Because Pundarik Vinjanidhi was such a respectful Vaishnava. He never used to bathe in the Ganga because he didn't like to put his feet in the Ganga. Just like sometimes you cross the Navadvip and the local people, they take their shoes off on the boat. They're not in the water. Some respectful souls on the boat, they take their shoes off and they carry their shoes because they don't want to, in their mind they're saying, I don't want my feet to touch. So Pundarik Vinjanidhi was like that. And also he didn't like people spitting in the Ganga. He didn't like people washing the cloth in the Ganga. He didn't like that, so he'd only go in the evenings. So when Gadadhar was brought before him, he saw this extroverted person, and he had mirrors around. Pundarik Vinjanidhi had mirrors, and he was looking into the mirrors, and the palm on his lips, he was smiling. Palm was there. So Gadadhar Pandit, when he saw him, he was bewildered. He thought, oh, what have you done, Mukunda? You brought me into the association of a materialist. Of course, Mukunda Dutt, he knew the glory of Pundarik Vinjanidhi, and he quoted one sloka from the Bhagavatam, which said that to the effect, I don't know the Sanskrit, somebody might know, but it was to the effect that, Putana has come and she smeared her breast with poison, and just by making that offering, Krishna is accepting that offering, and in the next life he gives her the compassion and love that she takes birth as a nurse, nursing Krishna. And when Pundarik Vinjanidhi heard that sloka chanted by Mukunda Dutt, he went into an ecstatic symptom. His body hyperpolated, hair stood on his band, astasattvic valves came, he fell off the pillows, he started kicking around, started knock all the pots of water over, everything went splash, and all the pan went, kicked it all over the place. They thought he was going to hurt himself. And then Gadadhar Pandit, he saw her. Oh, what a love this person has for Krishna, and he burned his fire of repentance. He felt repentant. He thought, I made a big mistake here. This is something. It's not. Sometimes we see somebody roll before the deities, isn't it? And they drag him off. Well, Prabhupada says a kick in the head, isn't it? Something like that. They drag them off. You can't imitate that. So Pundarik Vinjanidhi, of course, we know he is the father of Radharani, as Vrishabhanu in previous life. Not only that, he's an expansion of the sun god. One time the sun god was desiring, let me have a daughter. He asked, I want Gokul, I want the daughter Gokuleshwari, Vrinda Radharani, I want Vrindavaneshwari as a daughter. Sun god was requiring like that. Eternal father of Radharani and eternal mother, Kirtida Vrishabhanu. So Pundarik Vinjanidhi is the father, Premnidhi he was called. So that sun god, he came as an incarnation in Braj, and that was Mahabhanu, and he had seven sons, Pratibhanu, Vrishabhanu, Chandrabhanu, I don't know, some other ones, the Banus. So Vrishabhanu was the king. He was very steady, Brahminical family, he was the king. And somehow he got the benediction to get the son, to get Vrindavaneshwari, Gokuleshwari, as his daughter. So this is the same personality. So when, of course, when Gadadhar Pandit sees Pundarik Vijayanidhi, this whole connection of father and daughter takes place. So it's Radharani's father, Vrishabhanu, in the next pastime. Of course, they come as Brahmins. Yeah. So all the great gopis of Vrindavan, they come as Brahmins in the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So wonderful pastime. He takes initiation. To appease him, he takes initiation from. He says, I'll take initiation. So on a particular auspicious day, Pundarik Vijayanidhi gives Gadadhar Pandit initiation. And this is the way he reciprocates. And from then on, he's the disciple. Later on, of course, Pundarik Vijayanidhi actually gives him a very intimate mantra. His Istadev mantra, which is very private. One's Istadev, who you worship personally, is a very private concern. And so Gadadhar Pandit in Puri, he wanted to get reinitiated by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, no, your spiritual master is Pundarik Vijayanidhi. He said, I gave my Ista mantra, my private mantra, I gave it to a careless person. I gave it to a person who wasn't very focused. And therefore now my mind is disturbed. So we can't reveal intimate leader or private things about ourselves or what to speak of Radha Krishna. One doesn't reveal that to the public. It disturbed the mind, it disturbed the mind of other people. So he wanted to take a second initiation, and Pundarik Vijayanidhi comes and he takes a second initiation to purify his heart. So wonderful leela of Gadadhar Pandit. Then of course later on Gadadhar Pandit, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu goes to Puri, then he, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at one particular time was wishing to go to Vrindavan, and all the devotees from Bengal would go down to Jagannath Puri. And then on wanting to go to Vrindavan, all of the devotees are wishing to go with him. The king sends an entourage, so many elephants and queens are there to greet, to farewell to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And so much prasadam and different buildings are built by Maharaj Prataparudra for the prasadam caches, where he's coming and going north to Katak and Bhuvaneshwar. And Gadadhar, all the intimate devotees are there, and one by one the entourage drops off, the king and his elephants, and then there's the intimate devotees, and then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu becomes aware that Gadadhar Pandit is with him. And Gadadhar Pandit, of course, is going like the mood of Radharani when Krishna leaves. Of course, she's in the mood of Rukmini. But in this particular pastime, she's taking on a mood of separation. Krishna's leaving. She wants to go with him. And Gadadhar Pandit actually took in Kshetra Sannyas, which means he got given the instruction by Gauranga, the instruction, you never leave Puri. You stay and worship Gopinath. Gopinath was a deity in the forest. Not Gopinath, Tota Gopinath, yes. In the forest, Tota, in the forest, Gadadhar Pandit was given this, because he was in the mood of Radharani, he was given the deity by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu of Tota Gopinath. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu excavated that deity in the sand himself. He dug down and found the top knot, found the form, a Chatak Pavat in Puri. And Gadadhar Pandit worshipped in the Tota Gopinath temple. And there so when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went out, he wanted to go with him. But then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu reminded him, you've taken Kshetra Sannyas, you'll break the Dharma. He brought him to this tense exchange. And Gadadhar Pandit, he was wanting so much to go, you know. And he said, now wherever your feet are, it's not different than it's not different than Gopinath, it's not different than Jagannath Puri. He made some exchange like that. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, no, you only want to go for your sense gratification. You're committing two errors against Dharma. One, you're breaking your Kshetra Sannyas vow. And secondly, you just want to go for your own sense gratification. So they started this exchange, and then Gadadhar Pandit said, you know, anyway, I'm not going with your party. I'm going separate by myself. And he was traveling close by, he was behind. He said, I'm going myself to see Satchimata. You won't have to, it's not your responsibility, don't worry, I'm going alone. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, you want to break my heart? I'm going to take the responsibility for your... And he bought him, and Gadadhar Pandit said, I'll give up this Chitra Sannyas like a straw in the street. I don't want that anymore. Because he wanted to go with Gauranga. And then this is the point where Krishna, in conjugal mood, he draws his devotee. It's a very high level of surrender. And like he drew, the description is given, he drew Bhishma on the battle of Kurukshetra. Bhishma had taken a vow. He would force Krishna to take up weapons. And Krishna had taken a vow that he would never take up a weapon. And there's one point where the chariot gets stuck with a wheel in the dirt. And Krishna gets off the chariot and his cloth is flying. And Arjuna is trying to tackle him, and Krishna picks up the wheel and he comes at Bhishma. And Bhishma is standing, you know, that pastime business. And Bhishma, you know, he's actually protected Bhishma's vow. Krishna broke his own for his devotee, great devotee. And Bhishma, you know, he protected Bhishma's vow. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, at that point, Gadadhar Pandit, he fainted when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I'll give up my life, you're gonna just disappoint me. So Gadadhar Pandit fainted. He just collapsed. And then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was there, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, you're taken back to Puri. He went into an unconscious state. And then Sarvabhauma started to tell him about this pastime, about Bhishma. And then he gained consciousness like that. He went back. Then another time, we just finished, it's getting on, we finished with another time in Jagannath Puri, because he lived in the Tota Gopinath forest, with Gopinath. And he worshipped there in a very simple and beautiful way. He was a very gentle Brahmin. So there he would worship, and he would cook the... cook sark out of the leaves of the tota tree. He would take the leaves of the forest and make sark, and there was also tamarind. So he would cook the tamarind and make a tamarind sauce. And one time Lord Nityananda came and he bought beautiful high quality rice from Bengal. And you know, in India there's different qualities of rice. So this rice from Bengal was very high quality. And he said, you cook this for Tota Gopinath. So Nityananda had come and he bought some beautiful colored cloth, and so they put the cloth on the deity of Tota Gopinath, and he cooked. Gadadhar Pandit cooked for the deity, and the cooking is described that no one in the three worlds could explain the taste of that cooking. We know that Radharani, she got a benediction from Devasa Muni. One time he asked her to cook sweet rice. She cooked sweet rice for Devasa Muni with raisins and saffron, and he gave her the benediction, anything you cook will just be absolute nectar, no one will be able to, every preparation is different. So when Gadadhar cooked for Tota Gopinath, like Radha cooking for Shyam Sundar, when he cooked, she would cook every day, Mother Yashoda would take it. So like that, when he cooked for Tota Gopinath, the rice was exquisite. And so right at that time, they brought the rice out, the offering, and they put some places down. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, and he chastised Gadadhar Pandit. Said, you and Nityananda were going to eat, but you never invited me. I wanted to come. I'm attracted. You never invited me. So he chastised them. The cooking was so attractive that it attracted Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And at that place, Tota Gopinath, he would read Bhagavatam. This was another one of his pastimes at Tota Gopinath. He would read Bhagavatam, and when he read Bhagavatam, he would cry. He would just cry so much that his copies of the Bhagavatam, they were readable. He couldn't read because the words, the pages were dissolving with his tears. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left the planet, Srinivas Acharya went and visited Gadadhar Pandit and Tota Gopinath. And they tried to read the Bhagavatam, but because his tears were so incessant that the Bhagavatam had the pages, you know, it would be on palm leaf, they couldn't decipher it. So he told Srinivas Acharya, you need to go to Jiva Goswami in Vrindavan and be instructed by him. Of course, Srinivasacharya was described to be a manifestation of Gauranga's mercy. So, very special day today, Gadadhar Pandit's appearance day. And we can take great relish in the fact that Prabhupada also gave license for devotees to enter into bhajan as a private life. And then he also encouraged very much kirtan. So we can do both, and you find some Vaishnavas are more attracted to cultivating the internal in a private life. But variety is beautiful, isn't it? So we can accept that, although Prabhupada is an example himself, kirtan and preaching and the mission of the Gaudiya Math and Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur was very much in the line of Nityananda. And as Jananibas says, is Abhidaya. We're a movement of a process. So to deliver the whole world, Radharani's compassion has to get out there. So if everybody just is in the mood of bhajan, how would Gauranga pay back the debt? How will the world get Harinam? So he had two sons, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, illustrious sons. One was Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, the other was Lalit Prasadam. And he was more interested in the bhajan life, whereas Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur was more, even though his roots were in bhajan with worship of Gaura-Gadadhar, and he grew up with the Babaji consciousness, his mood was in the mood of kirtan, an ultimate surrender unto Lord Nityananda. And then later, and in one's private life, and in later stages of life, one can cultivate inner realms of bhakti and be fully awarded with the siddhanta of conjugal mood, which is the special gift of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So on this special day, we pray to Gadadhar Pandit that we can somehow be allowed to cultivate the highermost limits of prema bhakti. And it's a special benediction that Srila Prabhupada has given, and the gift of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is fully awarded for those who wish to dive deep and chew like the parrot the tips of the mango tree, the ridden tips of the mango tree. The materialists can't enter because it's like a camel chewing thorns. But those Vaishnavas that are very soft at heart and practicing Vaishnava culture, that are described like parrots who are chewing the tender buds of a mango, red fresh buds of a mango leaf. And this is accessible and awarded to those Vaishnavas. So there's many more things I could say about Gadadhar Pandit. But thank you very much for giving me your time on this hot day. Srila Prabhupada ki, Namami Bhakti Shaktikam ki, Gadadha Pandita ki. If anybody has any questions, we have Pankajangri and Jananivas here, who are more qualified to speak on this topic. Or any realizations or anything to share? Or one thing that Jananivas told me I found quite beautiful to see in the Panchatattva, I share that with you, that actually if you look at the hands of Gadadhar Pandit, they're quite a little bit more delicate and feminine, whereas Nitai's hands are more sort of big and masculine, or you know, because they both have a manjari swarup or feminine form. But was that something that was designed or just happened like that? So any other points about Gadadhar Pandit? I hope that looks good. Anyone have the microphone?
Hare Krishna.
You were talking about the pralaya or the partial devastation. Now that area of Godram Dweep, it doesn't get inundated by the flood. It's not only that part, the whole of Navadweep.
Whole of Navadweep?
Yeah, it's like a gigantic lotus. So the whole of Navadweep is floating on the flood of the
Navadweep Dharmaki. Anything you can tell us about Gadadhara Pandit? Some brief nectar? What about the worship of Ad Hoc Sid Jai Vishnu or something? Thank you, Jambi.
Okay, go. Hare Krishna.
Go ahead.
When Garadha is worshipping Dr. Gopinath, he became old. So then his body started to go down and he couldn't, his Gopinath was quite tall, so he couldn't reach him to dress him properly. But then because of his pure devotion, then Gopinath sat down.
Yes.
At this day, he's sitting down and like the lotus. Yeah. So he makes it easy for his pure devotee to address him.
Very nice.
You can say for 100 rupees if you're not alive, he can show you his feet.
And Jinnanivas, you told me something yesterday about the worship of Ad Hoc Sajja, or when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would worship Lord the Thakur in the house. Can you share it with us?
When Jagannath Mishra left the planet, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with his son, he took over his father's responsibilities. So he would worship the deity, a Dosacha deity that Jagannath Mishra is worshipping. So he would go and start the worship, but the tears were flowing from his eyes like a Ganga, and all of his cloth get wet. So according to the Pancharatika rules, it's considered tears are not pure, so it was considered contaminated. So he'd go and change his cloth, get new cloth, then he'd come back again and start the food, and again the tears would flood his and wet all his cloth. He'd go and change his cloth and get new dry cloth, come back and do the food again, and again he would, tears would come on him. So he said, I cannot do it. And so Gadadhara Pandit, he did continue the worship of Adosa. So Gadadhara Pandit,
he was most days Gadadhara Pandit would do that.
Worship.
Jai. Gadadhara Pandit ki. Jai. Srila Prabhupada ki. Gaura Vaini.